Hello from Solid Rock Worship Center of Buna, New Jersey. I'm Pastor Jim Bradford. At Solid Rock, it is our desire to see lives built upon God's Word.
Jesus is alive, doing miracles and changing lives.
For more info, check out our website at srworship.org.
And I hope you are challenged by today's message.
Yeah, I was just laying down, starting to fall asleep, and all of a sudden I heard, we have like a window air conditioner in our bedroom anyway, and it was on, and then it kicked off, kicked back on, and I'm laying there, and then I thought, oh, wait a second, it's not on the setting to kick off right now. Why did that happen? And then, then it was out, and stayed out, and then I heard winds, and I thought, oh, this don't sound good. And then I just lay there, and then about, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds later, it was very clear it was time to go downstairs. And my wife and daughter were sleeping, so I'm trying to keep them calm. I'm like, honey, wake up. Huh? I think we might want to go downstairs, but it's okay. And it was, you know, there might be a tornado on the ground, but we got everybody downstairs, and we really weren't prepared. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I grabbed the, we said, grab the radio quick, so we grabbed it, no batteries. You know, there was batteries in that radio last year during the hurricane because we bought them and put them in. Evidently, we used them and there wasn't even any batteries in it now. And also, you know, couldn't find flashlights. Yeah, we weren't prepared at all. And how many would say that was the worst storm that you've lived through? Okay. And we weren't prepared for this one. And that's the point. And the reason why I bring that up today is sometimes in life things happen and you're not prepared, right? And we like to be prepared. And trust me, I bought a crank radio. So I think I'm prepared for the next storm. I mean, we'll hope. We bought a bunch of flashlights. I bought a camping stove. So we didn't have power, but I had ham and eggs on my front porch. It was awesome. I didn't have Facebook to tell anybody, but my ham and eggs, they were awesome that day. That's all we needed. But you know, the Lord is good. And we can never be prepared for everything, can we? There's just some things you're just not going to be prepared for. It's going to blindside you and leave you stunned. And I just want to encourage you today to be prepared for as many things as you can. And within the Bible, there's something that the Bible says we need to be prepared for. And that's what we're going to talk about today as we move into the Bible passage. Watch this video clip and then we're going to open up our scripture.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good.
Well, today we got to be ready for what? The return of Jesus. How many got a little jolt? You're like, whoa, we've heard that before. You know, you have to be ready for the return of Jesus. Listen, He's coming back. And just like I wasn't ready for the storm, you're not going to be ready. Many are not going to be ready for Jesus. And when the storm came, we could scramble for a second. Oh, where's the radio with no batteries? Quick, get the candles. When Jesus returns, it's going to be like that. Boom, and it's gone. There's no warning. It's like lightning that strikes across the sky and it's over. There's no time to get right with God when that comes, is it? Is there? There's just no time. You're either ready or you're not ready, right? You either are ready for Jesus' return or you're not. Well, today we're going to go ahead and read in our Bibles 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians 5. If you have one of our Bibles, it's page 906. If not, if you have your own Bible, fantastic. I encourage you to bring your own Bible. All the T's in the New Testament are together. So if you're in the New Testament and you find any book that begins with a T, you're right in there somewhere. Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians, you're in there in the ballpark. So you can go ahead and turn. I'll give you a second to turn there. If you need a Bible, they're around in seats, or we can hand you one. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 through 11. We're going to walk through verse 1 through 3 here this morning. Well, initially. It says, "Now concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. And there will be no escape." Let's pull some thoughts out from this passage. How many of you, the whole pregnant woman's labor pains beginning suddenly, how many of you remember that and that was like, woo, big deal, right? Can I see your hands? With our experience, it was a slow, long period of time. For some of you, bang, oh, wow. There's the baby, right? Or on the way, get in the car, get the towels and hot water, right? You know, sometimes those things happen right away. And here, Paul is saying this is how the day of the Lord's return is going to be. He says, unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. Let's pull out a few thoughts we're going to put up. Unexpectedly, it says, everything is peaceful and secure. Look, without warning, either Jesus will come to us, this is in the rapture, right? Or we will go to Jesus in death. Without warning. You really don't get warning a lot with these scenarios, do you? Especially not when Jesus returns. He hasn't returned yet, but one day He will. You could say, well, Pastor, people have been saying that forever. Well, they have. For about 2,000 years, people have been saying Jesus is coming back. And people have been saying it's going to be within my generation. Right? And people have been saying any day. And some crazy people pick dates. And they're like, it's going to be such and such day. And they're always wrong, inevitably. But you know what? This is what I do know. Jesus is coming back. And today is closer to His return than ever before. Do you know that? Today we're closer than ever. Will it be today? I don't know. Will it be this year? I don't know. Will it be in 10 years? I don't know. Will it be in the next 100 years? I don't know. But I know we're closer than we've ever been. And I know that we're, you know, about 2,000 years closer to when Jesus said He was going to come back. And when you look around, things look a little rough in the world, don't they? You know, it could be Jesus is coming back at any point. You know? But without warning, when He is ready, He's going to return. Without warning, either He will return, or if that is pushed off for a while, guess what? Without warning, usually, we'll go to be with Him and stand before Him, won't we? For the Christian, or even for the non-Christian, whether or not you believe in Jesus, you will stand before Him someday. Without warning, usually. Sometimes in life, in our experience, people get sick and they die. Like things of cancer or something that they... As bad as it is, and it is very bad, and I'm not trying to say cancer is not bad, but there are a lot of people who are in heaven because as they experienced cancer, they woke up and they asked Jesus to forgive them, right? And they found Christ through this long period. If there's any saving grace within cancer or something like that, that would probably be it. That there's time. I'm grateful for those who knew. Unfortunately, I know family members who suffered through cancer, and I shared the gospel with them, and I don't know if they accepted or not. They didn't with me. Perhaps they prayed on their own. Sometimes people, even if you have time, you still reject Jesus. Right? But today we need to make a decision. Are we going to be ready for the Lord or are we not? Because you don't always get time. Right? You don't always get time. The Bible says that at some point we're going to die and we're going to stand before Him. Hebrews 9:27 says, each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. Everybody will die at one point. You're destined. In other words, there's an appointment set up for you. And I don't know when that day is, and you don't know when that day is, and you don't need to talk to a psychic because they're either wrong or they're demonic. You just need to live for Jesus and realize at some point life here will end. Right? We shouldn't live as if we think this is what everything is about, is life here. Right? And we shouldn't live as if everything's going to stay the same forever. At some point, the good news is, it's not going to stay forever. Do you see, for the Christian, the good news is we get to go to heaven. Right? That's good news. Right? Within our passage, it says Jesus' return will come like a thief in the night. And I also think many times death comes like a thief in the night as well. Sometimes it's driving home and it's the accident that claims a life. Recently, there was a young person who was killed in a tragic accident. And I came across the name in the obituary. And I thought, let me just check and see if I know this person. So I went on Facebook and actually found their Facebook wall. How sad. Someone very young. I don't want to name who or the age or anything like that, because this is something that happened very recently. Okay, and it's very tragic. And it's possible some of you even know the person who I'm speaking of. But anyway, this person was out in a vehicle, had an accident, died. And I checked the wall, and this person's wall had a lot of people typing things like, we're going to miss you, and all these other things. So sad. Someone very young, prime of life. It was his time, I guess, I don't know. But he died. And he stood before the Lord. And I don't know the person at all. I hope they're Christian. But what a wake-up call. And there was a quote I read on this person's list when you type your favorite quotes. And it said this, life is a bad word, then you die. And I thought, how ironic that that was on this person's wall. And now they're dead. Now, it might have just been typed as a joke, you understand. I don't know the person. I don't know that it was depressed, but I'm sure they weren't planning on dying. You understand? It just happened without warning. See, we shouldn't be afraid of that, because as a Christian, we know God is sovereign. Can you say sovereign? That means He is in control, right? And that means the day that God has destined for me to go to heaven is going to be a good day. And as a Christian, I can trust God. And I trust Him to take care of my family. Get life insurance too, right? So if something happens, your family is taken care of a little bit. Right? Funerals cost about $10,000, give or take. Right? And that's kind of for the cheap side. Right? So, at least get life insurance so your family doesn't have to go in debt to bury you. Or drop you off in the Leesburg Marsh or whatever they need to do, right? I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore, are you? Don't get caught. A midnight service. Drop you over to Morristown Bridge. But you don't know when the Lord's coming back. Listen, it's unexpected. And either you're going to go and be with Him, or He's going to come back and take you, and He's going to come back and see you and take you to heaven. Either way, whether we die or whether He returns, you need to be prepared. And today you can be prepared. Notice verse 3, it says, when people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them. Right? Isn't that how it happens sometimes? When you're not expecting it is when it's going to happen. Either the return of the Lord or some tragedy occurs. You just need to be prepared and be ready to meet the Lord. Let's scroll down to verse 4. We're going to read 4 through 7. Paul continues on, but you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep. And drinkers get drunk. Listen, we have to be ready. And in this passage, it tells us that the Lord's return should not surprise us. If the Lord comes back today, even before the message is done, it shouldn't surprise you. He's coming back at any point. I've said before how I like to picture Jesus sitting on His throne with His knuckles kind of turning white as He's pressing up on the arms, getting ready to sit up to return. It's at any point. It could be today, it could be a while from now, but I know it's closer than ever. And if it came this afternoon, I wouldn't be surprised. And you shouldn't be surprised either, should you? You know it's coming soon. Paul says you shouldn't be surprised. Verse 5 says, you are children of the light. Walk in that light. See, our world can be pretty dark, isn't it? Can it be? Our world can be dark. Listen, there's a lot of sin. There's a lot of confusion in the world. Paul says, Jesus is coming back and you're children of the light. Don't sit back and be bordering, you know, in this process of waiting for Jesus to return. Don't sit back and give up on God and give up on His Bible or sit back and say, well, I know what the Bible says, but I have friends who believe this and they're nice people. Therefore, they're probably right. And you ignore the Bible. You know how many Christians say that stuff? Fill in the blank with whatever current issue it is. I know the Bible says this, But people today believe that. Therefore, maybe the Bible's wrong. Or actually, I think most Christians won't say the Bible's wrong. They'll just ignore the Bible and treat it as if it is wrong. Right? With whatever contemporary issue it is. Do you understand? There's a lot of things that we see in society and you're like, you know it's wrong, but yet you're like, well, everybody's doing it. It's on TV all the time. It's a part of the world that we live in. The Bible is antiquated. Let's you wouldn't use the phrase, but you're kind of saying, let's walk in darkness when the Bible is the light that's revealing truth to you. And you can fill in the blank with any political issue you want. Our country is facing a lot of issues today, isn't it? There's a lot of things that are on the ballot coming up. Whether or not it's really on the ballot, but you can look and see one politician stands for one thing, another one stands for another thing, and you sit back and say, well, what's the Bible say about this? And many times we choose to walk in darkness. And many times we choose to say, society says this, so we ignore the Bible and we do what everybody else does. And guess what? The church becomes weak, doesn't it? We as Christians, we lose any place of authority to say anything because other people that don't know Jesus point at us and say, you're no different than us. And it's a shame that they're right. See, Jesus is coming back. And in the meantime, before He comes back, we should be children of the light. Our lives should look different than all of our unsaved friends. Do you understand? Right? I've heard it said, when Jesus comes back, will He be able to identify you? Will He know you're a Christian? Or are you just doing what everybody else does? And you're defying your conscience. Because if you've asked Jesus to forgive you, the Holy Spirit begins to live within you, then all of a sudden, God's warning you. He's encouraging you. He's convicting you of sin and drawing you to Himself. And sometimes that means God's drawing you away from your friends. Right? God's drawing you away from the things that you used to find funny. And now you realize it grieves the heart of God. Am I right? So in there, as a Christian, I want to encourage you, walk in the light. Don't play around in darkness. Walk in the light. That's what Paul is telling us here today. The Lord's return shouldn't surprise us. We are children of the light. We must walk in that light. He says, be on guard. Verse 6, be on guard. Don't be asleep like the others. Stay alert. Be clear-headed. Many in the world are kind of falling asleep. And there's many Christians, too, who are just kind of falling asleep. Remember the night when Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross? Remember that? He's in the garden praying. Peter, James, and John were there. They had no idea what was going to happen. They had no idea that that night was borderlining the next day when the single greatest event ever was going to take place. Namely, the crucifixion of God. They had no idea. Even though Jesus told them, they had no idea. They kept falling asleep. Jesus needed His friends there to encourage Him. And they completely dropped the ball. Why? They were tired. They literally fell asleep. See, be careful. We as Christians, we can also get tired, can't we? Can't we get tired? Can't we just kind of get numb with all that's happening in the world? Can't you get desensitized? Right? I would encourage you to not watch the news, especially before you go to bed. Maybe read the Bible. The news is good, not before you go to bed. Because then you're filling your heart and mind with murder, right? They'll have like 45 things that are bad and like one thing that's good. over and over again. 15 people were murdered in front of a steak shop in Philly today. Back to you, Bob. Well, 5 people were murdered somewhere else. Back to you, Bob. Right? And it goes all over the place, over and over again. And then we can get numb. Then all of a sudden, murder, we're kind of used to it. We're desensitized. We could fall asleep and become numb to sin. Did you know that sin is numbing? You know what else is? Sin numbs you by what you put in your heart. Like, I think today one of the greatest things that the devil uses to numb us to sin is TV and the movies. Right? If you have any kind of mileage on your life, if you are of any kind of age, you see stuff today on regular TV that you, when you watch it or you see it, you know that should have been on like HBO. Right? That would have not been on regular TV. And you see things that you can't, that you wouldn't have even seen on HBO, right? On TV now. And the stuff on HBO and Showtime is just off the hook, man. It's like, whew, you just would have never seen that before. Be careful what you put in your heart, right? Because if you're a Christian, you're a child of the light. And Jesus says, whatever you look at will affect the light within you. And if your eye is always bringing in darkness, your heart is going to be dark. And then you're going to be desensitized. See, that's when you, as a child of the light, you believe God's word, you know what it says, but you begin to look at all this junk, and you begin to have movies and TV shows, they're preaching in your life. It is preaching, right? They have an agenda, they have a message, and it's getting into your heart. They just have actors and special effects. Be aware, everything is preaching, not just what we do here, right? It really is. Be careful. When you go to an amusement park, when you go wherever you go, they're preaching. I love Disney World. You're always getting preached at when you go to Animal Kingdom. Right? Those of you who are going there, pay attention. What are they preaching? Nature is good, man is bad. You can't ride a rapid ride without realizing how horrible the human species is, and we all should just kill ourselves. Woo! Then there's a big drop and you get splashed and you're happy. I love Disney World, but it's preaching. My wife knows because I remind her all the time, and she says, can you just be quiet and enjoy the park? And I'm like, they're preaching at me, honey. They're preaching at me. Man is the crown glory of God's creation. She's like, just enjoy the park. But you have to be aware. They're preaching at you. And you know what? I'm not saying don't ever go to the movies. I'm not saying don't ever watch TV. But I'm saying be aware. Watch a TV show. And figure out what they're preaching. Many times it'll preach, it's okay to have an affair on your spouse if they don't love you. Right? Have you heard that message before on TV shows? Because there's a couple who they kind of fell out of love, and the woman finds some man who understands her. Doesn't happen, right? No man understands any woman. It's not possible. But here's somebody who understands me, and what's happening in your heart is all of a sudden you're a little bit loosened up to the idea of adultery, which is one of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Right? How about murder? Well, murder's okay if you're getting vengeance on somebody, like the Punisher, you know? Somebody killed your wife or killed your kids, you can go get them back and wipe them all out. I don't know. They're the morals you see on TV. Just be aware. As a child of the light, you need to realize there's a lot of darkness around us. And you need to be on guard. Be on guard because you could slowly fall asleep. The world will lull us to sleep. The world will just make you feel sleepy. All of a sudden your guard is down and you don't understand sin anymore. Because the Bible says something's sin, but your best friend is doing it. Therefore, if they're really good people, Jesus must forgive them, or maybe Jesus made them that way. Right? Do you understand? Maybe Jesus will understand. And you're like, I know what the Bible says, but he's a good person. And we let go of the Bible. The world will make you fall asleep. Listen, sin will intoxicate your heart and your soul and your mind, won't it? Sin will. Sin will make you sleepy. Sin will intoxicate your heart, soul, and mind. Verse 7 tells us to watch our lifestyle. Paul says night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. Night is the time when those things happen. Herm Edwards, anybody remember Herm Edwards? He was the coach of the Jets, right? He had this great quote. He says, nothing good happens after midnight. Nothing good happens after midnight. Herm Edwards tells us to NFL rookies all the time. When they come into the league, he's like, be careful. Nothing good happens after midnight. Go home. Go to bed. Spend time with your wife. You're not missing anything. While everybody else is partying, you go home and do what you need to do and take care of business. This verse tells us night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. The other night, Adrian Peterson was arrested. You know Adrian Peterson, running back from the Vikings? He was arrested for resisting arrest. And I just thought that was hilarious. Because how can you be arrested for resisting arrest? And if you wouldn't be resisting unless they were trying to arrest you for something. Obviously, there's more to the story than that. But this happened at 2:30 in the morning at a club. Now, he was with his wife, okay, and with his family members. But when you're out at 2:30 in the morning, not too much good is going to happen, is it? He was out with his wife and stuff, which is a whole lot better than not being out that late. But a lot of things are going to happen that shouldn't happen. Remember Pac-Man Jones, if you're a football fan back in the day? That shootings in his club, that was late at night. That was, you see, not much has changed. The Bible tells us as Christians, we're children of the light. We don't need to be hanging out late. If you're hanging out late, it's going to get you in trouble. Late nights can cripple your spiritual life. You know, late nights, partying, doing things you shouldn't do, being with people you shouldn't be with. You need to be careful. We see in Scripture, quickly before we move on, the Bible warns us about temptation coming in. And here's a few times when temptation... Yeah, that's okay. They're hooking up their air tank. Everybody's startled. Is there a storm? They're not a storm. In the Bible, we see Jesus was tempted when he was alone, right? He was tempted. In the Bible, we see that we're tempted usually when we're alone, comes our greatest temptations. When we're hungry, right? And when we're tired, right? Do you hear me? When you're around other Christians, you're usually not tempted, are you? Right? Unless somebody talks too much and you're tempted to strangle them or something. I'm kidding. Or if you're tempted to eat, like, dessert or something. But generally speaking, when we're around other brothers and sisters in the Lord, we can survive temptation a whole lot better. When we're around those who aren't Christians, we can be bad. But also when we're tired, physically tired, spiritually tired, emotionally tired, when we're alone, we can be tempted. And when we're hungry. When we're hungry. How many get cranky when you're hungry? You get snappy, right? Yeah. You see, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Jesus was hungry. Jesus was alone and Jesus was tired. He faced all of those temptations and thank the Lord he won. Be careful when you're alone. The devil seems like he wants to come and isolate you. You ever see lions eat like, I don't know, zebras or whatever on a Discovery Channel? And what do? They separate them, don't they? They don't eat the whole herd. They get in and move and attack, divide and conquer. When you're alone, be careful. when you're alone and tempted, it might be a good idea to call a Christian brother or sister. Send a text. Pray for me, right? When you're hungry, eat. I like that one. Eat. But when you're physically weak, that happens. And when you're tired, you're more vulnerable to temptation as well. When you're tired. Right? Do you remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? Remember that? Remember Elijah was on Mount Carmel, fire came down, Old Testament, 1 Kings around 17 or so. Right in there, fire fell from heaven. After that, Elijah is depressed. Right? He was depressed because he faced a spiritual high and then he crashed and he was spiritually tired. And Elijah, great man of God, was tempted to give up on God. Right? And he was also alone and he was also hungry. Remember that? And what did God do? He gave him time to rest. A raven brought him food, I believe, if I'm not getting my stories mixed up. Right? And God visited him in a still small voice and actually told him to get up and go somewhere and do something so he wouldn't be alone. Just be careful. We want to be children of the light. Watch yourself. Trust God. Live in God. Press in God. Don't be so concerned about what everybody else is doing. Live for God. Watch being with all the people who don't love God. You need to be different. What if they make fun of you? Who cares? You need to be different. You need to live for Jesus because one day He's coming back or you're going to go be with Him. You need to be different. Don't worry about everybody else. And when you are alone, be aware. Hungry. If you're alone, if you're tired, you'll be tempted more. Be careful. Verse 8 says, "Let those of us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation." Look, we live in the light, right? We've talked about this. Clear-headed. Clear-headed. Not drunk. Not high. Not dominated by anger or dominated by lust. We need to be people who are clear. You know what gives us a clear head? The Bible, right? Stay away from things that will make you unclear. But stay in God's Word and it'll reveal Himself to you. I love this phrase, protected by the armor of faith and love. The armor of God. Faith, love. And I like this last part here on verse 8. We're going to move on quickly. Look, wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Do you see that? Wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Here's my thought with this, and we're going to move on. But this is really good. When I was in the basement with my family, Saturday morning, if you will, 12:30, we're huddled. You see the lightning flash. I mean, you saw the storm. It was pretty bad. The winds were crazy. We're hearing snap, 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 trees falling. And if you were at our house at the baptism service, you've seen how close those trees are to our house. Really close. And a lot of them right now have a whole lot less of them there because they snapped and cracked and fell and were crushing stuff. So we're sitting in the basement, snap, 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 and I'm looking up at like what I think is the floor joist and I'm looking for the strongest one to hide my family under. You know? We have a couple old ones, so I'm like, should we hide under the steel one or should we hide under the big wood one? You know? Where's the strength? So I can keep my family safe, you know, structurally in the house if all goes wrong. And of course, my daughter and my wife were scared, and I was too. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. And I said, well, let's pray. And I remember right then my thought was this. I am so glad that I have a God I can pray to, and there's nothing between me and Jesus. Do you hear me? Like, I really thought that night. As we're going to pray, I'm like, I am so grateful that right now I can call on God with a clean heart. Sometimes in life, you don't have time to confess all your sins, do you? Can you imagine what that would have been like? We needed to pray with my family, and I had to, like, warm up for 10 minutes confessing all my sins because I haven't talked to God in a long time. Right? Like, God, you know, my family, I guess we got to take care of some business first. I'll be right back, guys. You know, God, we haven't talked in a long time. I was so grateful that I could huddle my family and with a clean heart say, Jesus, we love you. We ask you to protect us. You know, get right into it because I was right with God. And this says, like, the confidence of our salvation is like a helmet. You know that? And I felt protection in that moment, knowing I was right with God and my prayers were going to be answered and heard. Do you know that? There's a lot of confidence that comes with that. Knowing that I'm right with God to lead my family where they need to go. And I want to encourage you, get right with God. There is confidence when you're right with God. There is confidence that comes with knowing that all of your sin is already under the blood. Right? And when the rubber hits the road, when the crisis hits, Jesus, we need you. And you're not like, Jesus, I've been fake for 25 years and we need to work things out. When things are happening, when there's a tornado out your window, you're going to wish you were right with God. Get right with God today. Get right with God today. Leave this place wearing the helmet of the confidence of your salvation and wearing the armor of God. Leave here in confidence. And you can do that, right? Amen? Isn't that good, being protected by the armor of God? I was so glad because we just knelt right down with my family and said, Jesus, we need you. And we began to sing worship songs. And it was really a surreal experience. But I'm so grateful for the presence and peace of Jesus. And He kept us safe. Verse 9, we're going to wrap up here. For God chose to save us through the Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour His anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when He returns, we can live with Him forever. It says God chose us to save us, not to crush us in His anger, not to pour His wrath upon us. Right? Jesus died to give us forgiveness. See, it's open for everyone who will receive Him. One day He is coming back and He is also going to pour His anger upon the world, right? Jesus will pour out His anger. But He chose to forgive all those who would receive Him. You don't have to be in the midst of those of whom God is going to pour His anger out upon them. You don't have to be there that day. He died to forgive you. And He died to work and to live in your life now. And I want to encourage you to do that. Receive Him. Salvation comes through His death and resurrection. You see that in verse 10, don't you? Christ died for us. So that whether we're dead or alive, we can live with Him forever. See, people say the Bible contradicts itself. Not at all. Over and over again, it says in Scripture, Christ died for us to make us right with God. Do you know that? Christ died for us. Whether or not we're dead or alive, we're going to meet Him. Isn't that good? Listen, for those who aren't Christians, that's terrifying. And I hope today you're scared. If you're not a Christian, if you're playing games, if you're living in darkness, if you're allowing the song of the world to lull you to sleep, I hope that's terrifying to you. But for those of us who are Christians, it's going to be a good day. Can you imagine? Lightning strikes and Jesus is there. Right? Isn't that a good day? What if you're mowing the lawn and Jesus shows up? Are you going to think, another half hour, Lord, and I'll be done with the grass? Get it right? Let me finish weed whacking first, Lord. No. I'm going to let somebody else weed whack and I'm going to be with the Lord. Right? It's going to be a good day. Either we die and we go to heaven, or if we're still alive and He comes back, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be glorious either way. That's where we look at verse 11, last verse. It says this: "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you already are doing." Jesus is coming back. For those who are Christians, let's encourage each other. Let's build each other up. Listen, we don't tear each other down. That's not what we do at this church, right? Now, maybe that happens at another church down the road, but as long as I have breath, I am not going to let that happen here. That's not this church, right? And as the planter of this church, I knew in my heart that God wanted us to have a family. And you know what? You don't get to pick your family, do you? And you always have somebody crazy in your family, don't you? It's kind of like church. You don't get to pick everybody, but you have your crazy people and you have your sane people. I think we have more crazy people than sane people. But, you know, we all come together, but we're family, right? And what do? We encourage each other and we build each other up. And I've said for years, if I see somebody in our church gossiping about somebody else, I am going to talk to them. Right? If I catch you gossiping, we'll have a conversation. And if you don't stop gossiping, you can just go somewhere else. Why do I say that? Because I don't like people? No, it's because I love people. And because I love our church. Right? And I want our church to be healthy and strong. Right? Right? And we're all different and we come from different backgrounds. But I don't want somebody looking at you and judging you and making fun of you. And I don't want you doing that to somebody else. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to do verse 11, encourage each other and build each other up. And if we're not doing that, we're wasting our time. But here at Solid Rock, it's not about wasting time. It's about really living for Jesus, because Jesus is really coming back. And if it's not soon, then we're really going to meet Him one day. Either we all go together or we all go individually. We're going to meet Jesus. And as long as He gives us breath, we're going to preach the Word and we're going to encourage one another and build each other up for the kingdom. Amen? That's what it's all about, guys, right? To do that, to encourage each other and build each other up. And in times like this storm we had, what a great example of an opportunity to help others. To build each other up and encourage each other. Right? To reach out to those in need. Somebody who doesn't have something, you can give them something you have. To borrow or just give it to somebody to bless them. Some people lost food and other people give food. Some people don't have a generator and other people own a generator, right? Or some people have electric and they let the person without electric take a shower. Right? Brian should get all kinds of support by the end of this service. Right? Seriously, that's what we do. And we say, brother, I'm with you, man. We'll walk through this together. We encourage each other. Hang in there. When somebody's marriage is struggling, no one in church should say, well, then you should get a divorce. Within the church, it should say, I'm going to pray with you and help you. And maybe within church, couples who used to have a lot of problems can come and give encouragement and prayer and perhaps guidance to those who are having problems. You understand? We don't tear apart. We encourage, right? We don't tear apart. We don't divide. We encourage and we build up. That's precisely why God put us here. And we walk together, hand in hand, as a team, as a family, for Jesus. And we look forward to the day of His return. I like this picture. Jesus is coming back. There's coming a point when the trumpet will blast and Jesus will come back. You see, the world is going downhill and a lot of people within the Christian church is falling asleep. And they're ignoring their morals and values. Okay? They're pretending that God didn't say that much in the Bible. They don't read their Bible. They agree with society more. Or they're into politics more than they're into Jesus. Or they're into social reform more than Jesus. Or they're into feeding the hungry more than Jesus. Or they're into their kids and their soccer teams or gymnastics or guitar lessons more than they are to Jesus. Or maybe they're into their TV shows more than they are into Jesus. Or they're into movies or books or entertainment or fishing or hunting, whatever it is, or romance novels. Hopefully not for the dudes, or probably the ladies as well. But they're into that stuff more than they are into Jesus. Jesus is coming back. Be ready. I want to encourage you. Be ready. It's going to be a good day. Don't get tied up into the things of the world. We're children of the light. We're people who we work while we're here, but we keep an eye towards the sky, knowing either we're going to Him or He's coming to us. And it's exciting. See, that's why we share the gospel, don't we? Because Jesus is coming back. See, when you're sharing somebody with somebody Jesus, you're sharing them hope. You're not proselytizing and trying to get them to switch their religious viewpoint. You don't care about the religious viewpoint. You're just saying Jesus has worked in your life. He's given you joy now. He's coming back, or you're going to meet with Him. And it's good things ahead for those who have received Christ. And you're sharing the life jacket, if you will, in the midst of a world that's drowning. That's what Jesus is. It's a parachute in the midst of a world that's falling. That's what Jesus is. And Jesus brings hope. Last thought. We're going to do one more thing here. I hope that this message encourages you so that you don't have to be surprised in the midst of His return or you going to Him. I hope you reconcile the fact that one day Jesus is going to make it okay. And I hope also in the midst of all this you realize that you don't need to be afraid. Right? The storm was scary, wasn't it? But I hope you realize that God is in control and you don't need to fear anything but God. Proverbs tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You realize God's in control. We love Him and serve Him, and we don't need to fear anything else. Right? Because Jesus died and rose again, you don't need to live in fear. Because He conquered death and provided a way for you to be right with God. If you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins, if you said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, I need You, forgive me and help me to live for You. If you've done that and you meant it with all your heart, Jesus has forgiven you. And walk in that and run towards Him, and you do not have to live a life of fear anymore. Because Jesus lives and He's coming back.
Thanks for listening to today's message. I hope that you were challenged to live out God's Word in your life. I also invite you to come out to one of our services at Solid Rock. Being a part of a vibrant, Bible-believing church is a huge part of God's will for your life. Find us on Facebook or visit our website to find directions or calendar and other great resources at srworship.org. And may the Lord bless you as you build your life on the solid rock of Christ.